Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com. Calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have another great show for you guys lined up. We have Linda Feinholz, my co-host, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live from Los Angeles, California. And Linda will do the honors of introducing our guest for today. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. I have been waiting for such a long time to be able to have today's guest join us. You and I, Gina, talk so much about relationship building. And when I first encountered Donna Smith Bellinger and her material, it was like a shift in focus in my world. And part of it is the sheer humor with which she delivers information. She successfully inspired, coached, mentored, and trained hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners from everything from the C-suite to kitchen table CEOs, helping them figure out how to raise their visibility and also be really laser focused with their goals, all in order to create a more productive lifestyle that they actually love, which, Gina, is right in line with what you and I are constantly covering with our students and with our clients. So as an advancement strategist, Donna's dedicated to enhancing the performance of individuals and groups by improving the process of communication, leadership, strategic thinking, and teamwork. And best of all, what really hooked me was when I saw the title of her book, You Lost Me at Hello. So, Donna, welcome aboard.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it is my pleasure to be joining you from the Windy City, Chicago, in the Midwest. And thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. We've got
one
the whole country.
One of my favorite places. That's where I grew up.
Oh, yeah. It's still a fun city. We still only have two seasons, summer and construction. But it's just a really great place to be and a wonderful place for building relationships. Because of the way that Chicago is so blended and because it's kind of in that Midwest value system.
It is. It really is. You know, Donna, there's so many things that we're looking forward to talking with you about today. And I think one of the things that's always really helpful, I get so much feedback from our listeners about how helpful they value it to hear people's backstory about how they came to be doing the work that they're doing today. And I would love it if you'd share some of your story about how you came to have this focus in your work.
Oh, sure. So the backstory on me is, first of all, I'm not a spring chicken. I've been around for a little while. And when I had my first child, it was right out of high school in the 70s. And in the 70s, there was not that, attitude to this type of a thing. And it's interesting because when I told this story to one of my mentees and I said, well, you know, I had a kid right out of high school. My family felt that I had completely dishonored them. And they threw me unceremoniously out of the house when my baby was 6 weeks old and told me that no good man would ever want me and I would wind up working the streets. And I told that to my mentee, who's like in her 30s now, and she kind of looked at me with that laid-back kind of look, and she went, yeah, I heard that used to be kind of an issue. And I said, yeah. Back in the day, yes, it was a much greater issue than it is right now. But everything that I have done, moving from homeless single mother to the boardroom to co-founding a successful IT firm to now being in the space that I'm in right now has been born of necessity. So the first thing I want to say to the people who are listening, your wonderful audience, is you're not your story. And if you have anything floating around in the back of your head telling you, you know, all of the reasons why you can't do something, please just put it in a box, pack it away. It's not going to leave you. It'll always stick its head out. But just put it someplace because you really don't have time for that right now. You've got other things to do. And so I did wind up going into education, which I got into in a strange way. I took a course in a trade school, and I requested the opportunity to be able to attend there and to do some other things. And I walked in as a student, and I came out of that as their assistant director of admissions in an 8-month period of time. And I stayed in vocational education for a while, and then I moved into corporate sales and marketing and team building and management, and then I realized that I was having difficulty in doing what I was doing because it was not in alignment with my values. And what I do has to be in alignment with my values. So what I have to do now is make sure that everything that I do is done in a way that it affects more than just the bottom line of the people that I'm dealing with. So that's pretty much the short version of my story.
Very powerful, very powerful. And as you said, people make assumptions about how tough it's going to be to solve something, and the irony is I think so many of us have found that we can sit obsessed with how hard it's going to be, or we can take the first step, and the funniest thing happens. You take the first step, and the second step appears, and then the next step appears, and we actually can move right through things.
Absolutely, and you'll find that your creativity really begins to move as you know, it's very fluid. You know, the whole process is extremely fluid, and if you quit trying to think from a concept of breaking things down, and you think more in a fluid way, it's like, okay, well, if I can't go through, can I go over, can I go around, can I go under? You know, then you can make your way in very untraditional ways, and those are more fun, first of all. I always just find it to be a whole lot more fun to do it in a non-traditional way. And I have actually built my career on turning up in places where I was completely unexpected.
Oh, I love it. I'd love to hear some examples.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, for those who don't know me, I am an African-American female. And so when I began my career in the 70s and 80s, and I'm working in education, it was largely a white male-dominated space. And when I'm working in sales and marketing and got started in that again was largely a male-dominated space. And also in the areas of sales and the other things that I did, you know, I was turning up in these geek areas, or I was turning up in these boardrooms. I was turning up in cities where I was literally banned from entering some facilities. And I would go out and I would speak at high schools and other things, and I'd say, hi, you know, I'm Donna Smith. At that time, that's who I was. I'm here to address your students today on careers in data processing or whatever it was. And they would kind of look at me, and you could hear the crickets going. And I was like, yeah, no, you thought I'd be taller. But it was always, you know, kind of that kind of a situation. Now my life is so different because the first thing I say is none of my grandchildren match. I have this whole one family. My granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, just got engaged to a gentleman from China. You know, so I'm like, oh boy, we're going to just have just about every country represented pretty soon in this family. So it's just a really wonderful way of understanding that if someone doesn't want to accept you because of your generation, because of your gender, because of your race or your lifestyle, understand that is their issue, that is not your issue. So don't take ownership of it. And one of the first things that I say in my book, You Lost Me at Hello, is get accustomed to the fact that not everyone will like you, and you really don't want them to because it's too time-consuming. You know, you just don't have the time to build a relationship with everybody. And so when I'm talking to clients and people, I say, who's your target market? Oh, everybody needs what I'm offering. Okay, everybody may need it, but you don't want to work with everybody. All of us have had clients and friends, and we wish we could, family, that we fired, you know, that we've moved away from.
That's right.
When somebody says that they're really not into you, they just saved you a whole lot of time. And you almost want to thank them. And now just move on to find that person who's going to engage with you.
You know, it's so interesting what you were sharing about stages in this country of what lets someone walk through the door and not walk through the door. And nowadays, what's so prevalent is fear is holding people back. There's so much conversation with regards to, you know, who becomes a solopreneur. Well, it's somebody who's essentially an introvert, and now they have to figure out how to go out and relationship build and market and so on, and the fear will be holding them back, and they literally won't know how to go out, build relationships, participate in a networking setting and so on. And there can be a whole stack of fears that people will use as their reason for not taking the first step forward. So when you're working with those folks to get them out of where they're comfortable, which is sitting in their fear, how do you get them moved out?
You know, it's easier than it sounds, because most of us spend so much time stacking those bricks. You know, well, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. I don't have enough education. I don't have the right contacts. I don't have enough money. I tried it before and it didn't work. Or somebody I know tried it before and it didn't work. I mean, we spend more time thinking of the reasons why not than we do building the solutions. It's always so very interesting. So when I'm working with my classes and with my clients, because in addition to everything else, I also teach entrepreneurship at Chicago's Columbia College. And when we're talking about those kinds of things, I'm like, okay, think of those things that you love to do. That thing that you do better than anyone else, that thing that's going to be the linchpin of what you're doing. And then when you are very sure of what it is you want your business model to look like or you know, how it is you would like to proceed, you want to outsource all of that other stuff. I have a woman I worked with who had a business for about 4 years. She'd never turned a profit, so she's still working her day job. It turns out that what the issue was with her was not the product and not the process. She had a real hang-up with asking for money. Asking for money for her was almost a sign of weakness. So her sales were bad. And she would always ask people that she knew in her heart of hearts were going to tell her no. And so what I wound up doing is connecting her with some people who totally love the sale and no doesn't mean anything to them other than not now. And so things were able to go off on a completely different direction. So you need to own what it is you do and what it is you don't, and that will help you to whittle down some of these things.
And it's fascinating because we think that if somebody has chosen to be, I'll say, a solopreneur, that therefore they must become adept at every part of business. I often say to the folks I'm working with, I'm not trying to turn everything about business into one of your strengths. I just want you to understand it so that when you delegate it, you know what it is that good performance looks like when somebody else is doing it.
I'm giving you a virtual fist bump right now because you are so on target with that. And that's exactly what I tell them. You can't manage something that you don't understand. You know, like you may not want to be a CPA, but you know how to balance your checkbook. You know, and you know how to ask the intelligent questions, and you know how to interpret the answers. That's all you have to do. If you try to do, you know, I tell my people all the time, multitasking just gives you a chance to mess up more than one thing at a time. And that's basically what happens if you're trying to be all things in your business. You know,
yes,
so you need to do that thing that you enjoy doing and that you do with a smile on your face and a glow, and people are going to be attracted to it.
Yeah, there's a real, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not quite finding it. You know, there's a misperception people have that if someone's in a mega corporation that they're a highly specialized person. Well, they may be, ironically, if they're sort of mid-level in the organization. But if you're at the top level in the organization, you had to become enough of a generalist to understand many things about the business of the business. Otherwise, you couldn't become an effective problem solver, and then you couldn't move up to the level where you're no longer handling tactical questions, but you need to be thinking strategically and problem solving at very sophisticated levels. And if you're choosing to be a solopreneur, ironically, you have the same challenge as somebody who is in the C-level of a big corporation, because you have to be the strategic thinker for your business. You have to be the person who makes sure that what needs to get done in the business is done well. Wouldn't you say that's right?
I agree. And there are two things. First of all, we should always understand that we have as much time as any billionaire. Okay, that's the level playing field. They have the same 24 hours, 7 days a week. But the other thing that they do, and this gets back to the heart of our conversation today, and also what I talk about in my book, is they're excellent team builders. They are excellent team builders. The only people who are really egotistical in running their businesses are people who and this isn't, you know, like a flat-out truth, but it's just kind of what I've observed, are people who their brand is built upon them, okay? So like an Oprah or something like that. So she has to have that upper level and that huge visibility and all of that stuff because she is the brand. But or Donald Trump or somebody who, you know, their name is going to be what carries the project forward. But for most of us, if you take the ego out of the equation and you surround yourself with the people who are going to help you get this thing done, then your reputation becomes someone who gets things done. And then that reputation is what's going to carry you forward. You know, I mean, they could drop me in any country or any place, and once you know how to value differences, value strengths, and assemble a team, you will always be able to eat and eat well.
Oh, beautifully put. You know, I'm thinking back about some of the ideas that you've shared in your newsletter, which are just, I find it so delightfully written. It's one of the few that I continue to look forward to being there in my email so that I can read it, as well as in the book, is this notion of, if it's your company, whether you are the name face or the representative who's out doing the marketing, both offline and online, it all starts with becoming recognizable to people. And there are elements to what you have to do to succeed nowadays, because encountering is no longer taking place offline. There's all these opportunities online. How are you guiding people through understanding what they've got to do and be both in the offline world and online world these days?
Well, the first thing, online or offline, is you have to be consistent. And that consistency gives people that air of comfort. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I know if I open this, I have an idea of what it is I'm going to get. So if it's someone who provides a chuckle, well, then that's great. Someone who consistently provides support, wonderful. Consistently provides the trendiest. You know, that's the way that we attach ourselves to things, because you're filling a particular need. The key in online or offline is being attuned to the need of the audience that you're trying to address, that you want to capture, that you want to build that relationship with. So that means in order for you to be consistent, you have to be in integrity with what it is that you're doing. you know, there's an old saying that some people have, which, and I love this one, is I don't lie because it's too hard to remember. You always have to remember something that's not true to you. And you have to work for it. But if it's something that's a part of you and it's part of your integrity and it's the way you really are and you're being your genuine self, then you don't have to put on airs or try to be something that you are not. What I tell my clients, and this is one of my favorite little sound bites, is don't try to become a pale imitation of somebody else's success. Do you?
It's such a great message to people. And I think the folks who are shy, the folks who are very concerned about how they're showing up rather than just showing up and being in the experience, that's a real missing element for them, is this idea to just show up and be you and have faith that who you are as you show up is a perfectly pleasant person that people actually will want to know and want to connect with.
Yeah, there are billions of people on this planet, and all you want are the people who get you. Those are the people you're going to feel comfortable about with. Those are the ones you're going to have these wonderful conversations with. Those are the ones that you're going to have these collaborative engagements with. And the people that you're trying to pretend your way into are going to be people. If they make you uncomfortable when you first meet them, why do you want to stress yourself to try and stay in their space? I mean, there's no logic in that. You want to enjoy your work. You want to enjoy your life. You want to enjoy your family, you know. And that's where those people who say they feel stressed and overwhelmed and da-da-da-da-da, that's where some of that comes from, because you're trying to fit a shoe that wasn't made for you. You know, so when you walk in and you know you're shy and you're a better listener than you are a speaker, walk around and listen. You know, in my book, one of the things I talk about is when you're at an event and you don't really know anyone, you listen. You don't just try and jump into a conversation. You kind of stroll around and listen. And I'll move around behind the crowd of people who are gathered around someone who seems to have command of the room, and I'll listen to the little snippets. You know, and then I'll move around and listen to another bunch of snippets. And I may make a mental note. I want to go back to the person in the gray suit because that was a point of conversation I'd like to reengage on. And you walk up to them and you go, you know, hi, I overheard you speaking about, you know, ABC. I thought that that was really interesting. I didn't want to intrude on the conversation, but now that you have a moment, can we talk about that a little bit more? And that's it, because you found some common ground with that particular person, something that both of you can go, yeah, we both get it. And it's really just that simple. It's not hard to engage other people if you have a common point.
Ironically, everything you just described is exactly how to start engaging online, is go find where there are conversations that interest you, and you don't need to be the first person who shows up with an opinion about things. Join in the conversation.
Absolutely. You join in the conversation, and then, of course, you always do the shameless plug. You know, you include something interesting in your signature so that people who pick up what you're putting down are able to reconnect with you and expand that conversation. It's the same thing, for instance, on Twitter. If you've ever retweeted something, it's because what they said spoke to you. You know, and you reply. You know, hey, I really got that, or thank you for sharing that, or whatever. Or when you retweet it, the person whose tweet you acted on is going to come back on and go, thanks so much for doing that. I know people who get speaking engagements and, you know, other types of business opportunities simply because they begin to follow the person that they want to engage and wait for them to make that one statement that they can chime in on and get their attention. And it's essentially the same thing. You just kind of do online, snooping, research. It's just market research. whether it's in person or whether it's online. And market research is an integral part of building any business.
Very cool. So do you have organized programs that you teach, or is most of your work one-on-one or within groups in organizations?
I do have private programs. I have public programs. And then, of course, I do a variety of different things for corporate. I have businesses that have me come in and talk to their suppliers or to their clients. I have an attorney who retains me to come in once a quarter and talk to her clients and kind of get them all on the same page. It makes her job easier when she's working with them. I have a private coaching program called Advance You. And that was really fun because what I'm doing is you don't have to have a business. You don't have to have a business idea even. This is personal and professional development, and it's very supportive. And like I said, it's a group program, and you can do it either independently or live because I understand that everyone learns differently. And so I don't want anyone to feel that, well, I don't learn well online, so I can't take this. Or I'm shy if I'm in a group and I'd rather do it on the telephone. So I try to blend all of the different things that I do to address each one of those levels.
And who is your primary customer? I mean, who do you like to work with? Who are your programs ideal for?
My programs are ideal for people who are 25 to 90. And although right now I'm working with, you know, the younger ones over at Columbia, but essentially I'm looking for people who are coachable, who realize that they have hit a wall in one way or another. Perhaps they can't seem to break through to that next level. They've had some success, but now they're at a point where they feel they're not being heard or they're not able to really blend in with that next level of advancement that they seek, either personally, professionally, or within their business. And those are the people that I work with. Because, again, I'm all about advancement, just moving forward to the next step, whether it's an established next step, you know, like that promotion or whatever, or you're going to create your own next level of success. And we need to decide what that's going to look like for you and your particular objectives.
And you guys can find Donna on groupendeavors.com. If you look in the show notes, you will see a free gift that she has for all of you. You can find the link right in the show notes. Want to tell them a little bit about that free gift that they have?
Absolutely. So if you go to groupendeavors.com/free-gift, I have a special video series for you. And one of the, you know, I'll kind of let you know a little semi-secret about me. Whenever I start getting asked the same question too many times, that's when I create something around it. And one of the first ones that I put together was this one called, Why Didn't That Work? And it's addressing people who are putting together marketing events or other types of marketing efforts to build their brand or to build their visibility. And they tried these various things, and it worked for somebody else. Why didn't it work for me? And I show you step by step how to put those things together and to answer the question of why that didn't work in your last marketing effort.
Well, and you know that there's a great tip in that right there, isn't there?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But that's how a number of my things came up. My first book was an audio book, and it's called Creating the Eighth Day and the 25th Hour. And that, of course, as you might be able to guess, is time management for busy entrepreneurs and managers. And that came out of, well, how do you always manage to handle all of the things you're doing? You're teaching, you're speaking, you're married, you're grandma, you're sitting on these boards. How in the world do you get all this stuff done? And I just tell them, because I've mastered how to create the eighth day and the 25th hour. And so I finally had to put that stuff down. And there's a little bit of that in You Lost Me at Hello, when I talk to the reader about how to prioritize the types of events that they attend in accordance to the objective that they have at that particular point in time in development.
That's awesome. I want that 25th hour and that 8th day. Don't you, Linda?
I do. One of the ways I teach folks to create that 25th hour is by, rather than considering hours, 60-minute hours, is break them up into 45 and 15. So for 45 minutes, you focus on something you need to work on, and for 15, now you can check your email or return calls or whatever, and then back to 45 and 15. It's amazing how when we own our time and own our attention, everything in life changes, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really is.
And you know what? That's when technology comes in, because I use that, but what I do is I have to set a timer in order to make sure that I adhere to it, because sometimes when you get really into what you're doing, that 45 minutes just kind of slips because you're in the zone. So I have to break myself out of the zone.
And I think, you know, I suspect, Gina, that Donna is like you and I are, where we really could, if we wanted to, work 24 hours a day. There's enough interesting things, there's enough possibilities, there's enough people who want to collaborate or have our time. And so part of this is the art of figuring out how to balance life.
Absolutely. And it's easier to balance your life when you're doing something that you really enjoy doing. And I once told someone that I was training for a position in corporate. She was it was a sales position, and she said, "This has seemed so overwhelming, and there's just so much to do and to learn, and I don't know if I can do it." And she was just, we were in the ladies' room, and we were having one of those little conversations. And I looked at her, and I said, "You know what? If you can't laugh at this, if you can't appreciate the chaos and the things that are not going well, or all of the little amusing things that go on, then you should just leave. Because if all you're going to do is concentrate on those other things, that's just not going to make it for you." And she and I are still fast friends to this day. You know, her kids are like my kids. But that's, if you can't laugh at a situation that you maybe don't have full control over, if you can't see the humor in a mistake or a misstep, you know, and if you can't, I call myself a graduate of Don't Let This Happen to You University, because, you know, there are so many things that, you know, you said, what was I thinking? Okay, lesson learned, tuition paid, let's move on.
Beautiful. We get to graduate from those events.
Yeah, but don't carry them. I mean, it, you know, it's just, a baby falls how many times? And the baby keeps getting up until one day the baby doesn't fall.
Yeah, and what's so important about that is the focus is not on, am I going to fall, am I going to fall, am I going to fall? It's, I want to get there, I want to get there, I want to get there, I want to get there. And they just simply, they don't even think about the limitations. They simply pull themselves up. It's like the intention draws the rest of the actions after it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They just want to get in there and find out what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. I've been thinking throughout this conversation about, you know, when you're dealing with a solopreneur, when we're dealing with people in organizations who are have their comfort zone and then are talking about how concerned they are about how they'll be perceived and so on, it's almost like you need to take them back to who they were as an infant, where it was, so what are you curious about? Just go pursue it. What are you interested in? Go pursue it. Get your attention off of yourself and go pursue.
Absolutely, but sometimes it's a matter of unlearning some life lessons. And one of my keynotes that I do is called Permission Granted. And it's all about how we find ourselves conditioned to measure up to certain expectations. And so you begin to program yourself into that thinking that if I don't meet that particular expectation. Well, now I'm failing, or all of, you know, particularly with women, and I'll just use that one. We are raised to be service oriented and to put everyone else in front of us. You know, with men, it's that thing of all I have to do is be the top revenue person, and everything else comes in behind that. And you have to learn to let go of some of those things in order to really create the person that you are comfortable being and the person that you were intended to be. Because in both of those instances, now you're living into somebody else's idea of success, and you don't want to do that. So myself, I'm customer service focused, and that's, you know, pretty much the way I am. I have wonderful friends who are process-driven, and I love them because they help keep me on track and keep me honest with, okay, no, this belongs in this section, this belongs in that section, so don't forget your fitness, don't forget your food, don't forget family. I mean, they kind of, and all of these different skills have a place in the grand scheme of things. You know, so just figure out how to blend it in and make your own secret recipe. And never think that it's too late. You know, I keep things like Colonel Sanders was, what, in the 70s when he did KFC. You know,
yeah,
my first coach was in her 70s, and she still beats me up to this day. She's absolutely marvelous and still active and working. So, you know, you get those stories out of your head as well.
Are there particular exercises that you give people who are stuck in their old stories?
Yeah. I'll give you one thing that I have everyone do, and it takes a couple of weeks to do it. That's the reason I like it, because nothing is a real quick fix, and everything is over time. And it goes along with permission granted. Make a list of everything that you know how to do. Everything from baking a pie to fixing a car to business plans to what, everything that, you know, how to type. I hate to say type. I don't know if they use that word type anymore. But all of the different things that you know how to do, and you probably have 2, 3, 4 pages of those things, because you're going to keep revisiting it and adding to it and adding to it. And then when you're in a different frame of mind, I want you to go back and start crossing off the things that you absolutely never, if you had a choice, would never do again in life. You would never do again in life, and cross those things off. And eventually you're going to kind of get down to those things that mean the most to you, and that's kind of your starting point. You know, when you get down to maybe those 10 things and then later those 7 things, because you find out that 2 of those things actually meant the same thing. And you use that to kind of hone in on what it is you truly want. In my life, all I really want to do is travel and train. Those are the 2 things that I really want to do if I'm not doing the family thing and if I'm not doing the church thing or those other things that are a huge part of my life. But when it comes into, you know, the personal fulfillment part, it boiled down to 2 particular things, traveling and training. Now, in order for me to travel and train, I had to create a business model that would afford me the money to allow me to go off and play. And I tell people all the time that work is the journey. It's not the destination. You know, so my destination is travel and train. The work I do is the journey.
I'm visualizing you on cruise ships, traveling and training simultaneously.
Well, you know, love that thought. I also, and you know what, I throw ideas out openly because I believe in sharing everything, and I think that if you hold on to all of your good ideas, then it's selfish, and other people are going to see you as someone who does that, so they're not going to share their good ideas with you. So here's an idea that I have. I want to, and I'm working on this now, I'm building my base of people that I know globally, and I want to be able to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be in Greece in July of 2015. Do you think we can put together 10 people that would want to hear my message or 50 people that want to hear my message? You know, and then I can go and I can do that thing and I can write off part of it. I mean, that's
I call
just,
that the perfect life.
So I get to go where I want to go. I get to do what I really want to do. My husband gets to go along. We pay for him, but I get to write off part of mine. And
yep.
I got a chance to touch some people that I might not otherwise have encountered.
Yeah, yeah.
You
so,
know, so teach me a way to create your own recipe and to make those things that you really want to do happen.
Exactly. I would love if you would share some stories of some of the folks who have been able to make that shift, some of the befores and afters.
Oh, my very first person, when I was getting this thing started, my husband used to do website. He was a webmaster, and he was the hard coding kind of a webmaster before everything was plug and play. We had a gentleman, a retired Whirlpool executive, who came to us because he was going to become a coach, and he wanted a website done, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do and how he was going to put it, and we built exactly what he wanted, but I told him in the conversation, you know, this is not going to work. And he got a little bit huffy, and I said, you know, I said, we're going to build it. I mean, you know, you like it, I love it, but the way that you have this model, it's not going to work. About 4 months later, he called me back, and he said, I have a question for you. And I said, what? And he says, will you coach me? Because this is not working. And what he had conceived was to become a coach for recent college MBA, you know, graduates and show them how to navigate corporate life. That was what he wanted to do. And my question to him was, when you got your MBA and you got ready to go into corporate, did you really want to pay yet another person to tell you that you don't know anything? I mean, that was the question. And, of course, he answered, and before he could stop himself, he says, well, of course not. And I said, aha. So he now works with the University of Notre Dame. He's working with MBA candidates. He has a book out. He has tours. He goes into companies and works with their recent MBA hires, but it's on the corporate dime. And his business is doing quite well, and he's really pleased. On the other hand, on the personal development side, I've had people come in who had terrible self-esteem and bad relationships on the job and in the family and can't find anybody and all those little blah, blah, blahs. And we go through the Advance You program where we talk about clarity and assessment and process and all of those things. And they come out of those five sessions. I mean, it's all we're talking about. And they're like, I've so reconnected with my family. I didn't know that this is how so-and-so really saw me. I didn't know that this is the value that people thought that I brought into a situation. And those things have literally moved me to tears. And I have some wonderful, if you go on the Group Endeavors website, there are some what I call yes-timonials that were done by some of my people. And they're just so very cool. Because, again, I made a difference for most of them in their bottom line, but also in the quality of life that they get as they're doing those things.
Wonderful, and I love the yes-timonial. That's brilliant. Puts the attention right on the right mindset. And so much of this is all about mindset, isn't it?
It absolutely is. If I had owned everything that people have said about me or to me, you know, I walked into a corporate event once. I was an assistant school director. I walked into a quarterly meeting where all the different divisions and the regional people were in there, and one of the guys looked at me in a quiet room and announced in a booming good old boy voice, oh, you sure must know what you're doing because they did not hire you for your looks. Yeah. And at first I was taken aback, and I was like, huh? And then I kind of looked around, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm the youngest and you know, a few other things. And it occurred to me, you know what? You're right, and they did, and I received that. And I proceeded to whoop his behind on paper every single month. You know, my team outperformed his just on principle. So, you know, you just have to take a look at the things that people say to you and think, well, what area are they coming from? His was actually coming from a space of fear. And it took me a while to figure that out. He was trying to intimidate me so that I would perform poorly. He would intimidate me to perform poorly because he figured I really must have some secret sauce if they brought this person who doesn't look like me into the room.
It's absolutely fascinating. It really points to the inner conversations that our customers are having, that if we don't learn how to listen, we're not going to be able to uncover what those conversations are.
And as I said earlier, you know, take your ego out of it. Take your ego out of it and don't own, you know, I could have owned the superficial, and I didn't. I had to go a little bit deeper because, again, it was like, okay, is what he just said going to affect my ability to take care of my family, which was the whole reason I was in the room. I wasn't in the room because I needed more friends. You know, so you have to kind of take it that way and put it in proper perspective and put it in the proper place.
You know, I am so surprised you and I have not run into one another before now. I'm actually a Notre Dame graduate, and I grew up in Arlington Heights. It seems like we have so much in common.
Ah, but we're
about
in the same
Chicago
space. But see, that's so cool because, see, what had happened now is you've got your people and I've got my people, and now we can blend this, and they're going to get the chance to meet each other and experience each other, and this is just going to be a wonderful collaboration.
I absolutely agree. That's like my favorite thing in the world. Do you do a lot of joint ventures?
I love joint ventures. I really love joint ventures. I don't mind putting on my own events, but you know what? That's a whole lot of heavy lifting. And I would rather just get in there and start making a difference. And like I said, I don't have an ego, so my name doesn't have to be, you know, the big one on the marquee or any of that other stuff. I do love it when I get emails from people. I just got one the other day, and a woman asked me, when are you coming to New York? Because I really want to see you. And I said, well, let me throw something out there and find out who's doing something in New York. You know, and see if I can't get out there and I can't touch you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well,
you know,
tell us about one of your most favorite joint ventures.
Oh, mercy. There are so many. I have one coming up right now that is going to be in Chicago. And it is called the Stiletto Women Business Owners Symposium. And I am partnering with a wonderful woman, Kim Harris, who created this national tour of events. And I am the Chicago ambassador for that. It will be myself and four other speakers. What I like about this one is it's not a vendor fest. I've been to conferences where, you know, yeah, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about, the tables and all that other stuff. No, we're going to get you in there. We're going to work your socks off on five specific areas. It's being held in the Chicago History Museum. How cool was that? And,
wow.
And so we, yeah, so it's a whole different mindset. And this is the kind of thing that typically you would only get at an upper corporate level. You know, when they do their big kickoffs or their big conferences, and we're bringing it to 150 women in this area. And yes, tickets are still available, and you get that information on my website, groupendeavors.com. But I will also be speaking, not as the ambassador, but as a presenter at that same event, five different women in Washington, D.C. in November. So the Chicago event is October 17th. The other event is in November 7th in Washington, D.C. And, again, now I'm working with five different people in each city, their groups and the people who follow them, and I get a chance to touch people that I have never been able to touch. I love that. On the other hand, I totally love speaking to nonprofit organizations in particular. I love working with people who work in human trafficking, people who work with formerly incarcerated individuals, and economic development arms, so chambers of commerce and things like that. Because I am a great interpreter for what corporate expects from you versus what you feel you have to offer and how you blend that conversation so it's a win for everybody.
Make sure after the show is over that...
I'm sorry?
Make sure after the show is over that you ask Linda to connect you to one of our friends, Tana Toronto. Do you know Tana?
No.
Tana is the founder of an organization called OSBO, short for Organization Supporting Business Owners. She is also the co-founder of a group called the Eco-Commerce Hub. Sounds like it's right up your alley. And she has so many people globally that she works with because of her work with the Eco-Commerce Hub. She's always looking for presenters for things all over the place. She's got something coming up in Dubai, I think.
Ooh, travel and train.
Right? So we definitely have to hook you up with Tana because she doesn't actually like to do a lot of travel. So she loves having women that she can connect to the people who ask her to speak and have them go instead of her. So this is definitely somebody we have
She's
to get to in conversation.
She's my new best friend after you guys.
I had a feeling. And are you on Google Plus, Donna?
Yes, I am. I am on Google Plus. I am on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter at GRP Endeavors. And then Group Endeavors is also on Facebook. And You Lost Me at Hello is also on Facebook.
Take a look on Google Plus for a guy by the name of Jason Levy, L-E-V-Y. Jason is an audiologist out of the U.K., but does a lot of work in the human trafficking arena, is constantly looking for supporters of his cause on Google Plus that can help get the message that he has about ending human trafficking out to bigger audiences. Tell him I said that I sent you.
I shall do that. Thank you.
You know, collaboration is one of my very favorite things in this world. It's why people usually refer to me as the JV queen. I used to broker joint ventures for people, but today it's just a part of life. I really don't do that professionally any longer. But collaboration it makes everything easier, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And the more we're able to collaborate and the more that you recognize what your particular skills are, one of the oddest things that I was ever asked to do was a corporation approached me, a friend who was a senior VP, and he said, you know what, I've got some events coming up. We just did a merger. I don't trust the people that we have to go out and represent us at these particular events because these are like private events. So will you go and represent our corporation at these events for us? Because I know you know how to work a room.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, well, sure.
That is an odd thing to be asked.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing. You know, it was a wonderful thing. I didn't represent me. I repped them, but I was able to go back later and you know, reintroduce myself as myself to those people later that I found that I had connected to. But it gave me some tickets to some things that I might not have been able to afford to go to.
Well, and it also adds to your credibility so that when you do go back to reintroduce yourself as yourself, you probably had some conversations that you couldn't have had as yourself to start with, right?
Oh, those people would have been, you know, their gatekeepers are fierce. So
right.
I was able to get those secret numbers to be able to, you know, or the email address that they actually read. As opposed to the one their admin reads, you know. So, yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. And, again, that's like just realize what it is and monetize that particular skill that you have. You know, my clients have a funny little saying that they created for me, and they call it donatized to monetized, which is hilarious. But they say that when I get with people, I donatize them, and I'm always showing
funny.
People how to monetize their skills. So it's donatized to monetized.
I love it. That's really great. You know, I will oftentimes build joint ventures so strategically that I'm working with person A because they were an easy person to reach, but my end game isn't really what I'm doing with that person. It's that person can connect me to another person who can connect me to another person, but for me to go to the end person I want, oh gosh, it's just not going to happen. Too many gatekeepers, never going to get into the inbox, not going to get anybody to return the phone message, etc. So those baby steps are really, really important. And it's one of the hardest things that I teach. It sounds like you do that naturally as well, Donna.
I always say that you have to give in order to get.
It's
really just that simple. And again, if you're giving of your authentic self and you just generally, you know, when I meet people, one of the first things that I will ask them is, you know, what do you do and what can I do to support you before I even tell them what I do? You know, because I don't want them thinking in terms of, you know, well, she's a coach or she's a speaker or she's, you know, a professor or whatever those other things are. I don't want to be cubbyholed. You know, I'm Donna and I'm here and I would love to know how I could support you. You know, what are you into? And from there, if it's a strategic introduction or me speaking or, you know, whatever it is. Because if I like you, I like you. And, you know, there's an old saying, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
That's beautiful. And, you know, so many people really get stumped in starting a conversation, especially online. Even if they can do it when they walk into a room, they get online and they talk at people. They don't find ways of getting people to talk back to them. But that way of walking in and asking how you can support people, you know, it naturally starts a conversation. Any other tips for our audience on how to start a two-way conversation instead of just talking at people?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I did in You Lost Me at Hello is I included some templates and some other things. It's a short book, but it has a lot of powerful content, and it fits right into your pocket almost. And one of the things that I say is when you are following up with someone that you have met at an event, always cite in the beginning, I enjoyed meeting you at such and such, and our conversation about blank, you know, and then piggyback on that conversation. So, you know, I remember we talked about your kid being in soccer, and were you aware that this particular soccer event is coming up, or has your kid seen this particular page, or, you know, here's something to support parents, you know, who are doing this stuff for kids, or something like that. And then you move into, you know, I'd love to have coffee with you in person or virtually. And if it fits, you know, your needs, I'd love your permission to send you more information about the things that I do and how I think it would support what you're working on. You know, don't lead with, hi, here's my brochure. It was so good to meet you at the event. Because I don't care. You haven't given me a reason to care yet.
Really helpful suggestion, Donna. Thank you so much for that. Any final thoughts for our listeners? We've got about 60 seconds.
Sure. My personal statement, you don't have to struggle and you don't have to do it alone because success is a group endeavor.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Linda, for bringing Donna to our listeners. Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a great week, everybody, and thank you so much, Donna, for all that you shared today.
Thank you for having me.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions. from relationship marketing to business success.